Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
And shots. Terrific broadcaster. One of the best in the biz. The best, I think, on women's college basketball. She's been on it for probably her whole life. And a lot of us are just new to it. She joins us now. And what are you up to?
John.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm trying to stay above the fray. I know you can relate. You're working from home, huh?
This radio show has now been moved full studio to my house. I may never leave my house
baby.
Again. I might never leave.
Well, hey, I mean, you sound great, so what the heck?
what was your reaction? Where were you when the NCAA canceled everything?
Wow. So I had just finished the Horizon League championship game in Indianapolis a week ago today and then jumped on a flight to New York for the America East Championship game, which was slated on Friday at Stony Brook. So I'm in the Long Island neck of the woods, and I'm at Stony Brook. So I get there Wednesday, and I go to practice. You start hearing rumblings, especially with the NBA starting to, you know, make announcements and whatnot. And I'm at Stony Brook's practice on a Thursday at about noon East Coast time. And the kids are going like crazy. Maine is coming in the house the next day. That's going to decide who gets to go to the NCAA tournament. Stony Brook had never gone, et cetera, et cetera. So they're practicing like the Dickens. And then you see some guy walk in khakis and a button down, and you know he ain't part of the team. And I look at one of the managers and said, who's that guy? Oh, that's the AD. You know, and it's like, you know, John, when you have one of your first high school parties in the basement and you hear your dad coming down the stairs and, you know, and you think, uh-oh, and here and great guy, great, you know, but he comes in very somber looking, and he gathers the women and coaching staff at center circle, and I get close enough and got the okay to use my cell phone to record it when he gives the news to the kids. Oh. And it was awful. It looked as if the reaction of some of the players was as if someone died. And I'm going to hazard a guess that for some of these youngsters, it's the first time that kind of feeling had entered their world, that their mom and dads were all with them, or their grandparents were still alive, or no one had been lost to tragedy. That's what it looked like to me. It was awful. It was just awful to see the pain on their faces as it registered to them, we're done.
There's going to be unfinished business for this Oregon women's basketball program that may never be rectified. Give us an idea of what you thought might happen in a tournament. Were they getting to New Orleans? Were they the best team? How was that going to play out in your mind?
Well, you know, some of the great philosophers, John, and some of the great sociologists, you know, will challenge us to not be attached to outcome if we can't possibly know what it is. That said, you can't help but go down a road of what-ifing. And when you line things up as best you can, you had to have liked Oregon's chances to not only get to the Final Four, but to win it all. Now, with all due respect, South Carolina would say not so fast. Baylor, you got to go through us. We won it last year, and we're feeling pretty frisky and good about ourselves. And other teams that were really, really – right there, whether it was going to be Maryland or if Louisville had its act together, UConn being UConn, they were starting to hit strides. But you couldn't help but think this healthy Oregon team that had dismantled everybody that came in its path since that stunning loss at Arizona State, which seems like forever ago in January, you can't help, John, but think that they had as good, if not better, chance to win it all than any of these other great teams. You can't help but go there.
Ann Schatz with us, broadcaster. You hear her on CBS, see her on ESPN and the Pac-12 Network as well, among other places, Westwood One. And the profile of women's college basketball, I thought, accelerated with this Oregon program. I thought Oregon State and Scott Ruick and the Pac-12 have done a great job of sort of bringing it to the forefront, but it was like on nitrous. I mean, there was a jetpack on women's college basketball. For somebody who's been in it this whole time, what did that look like to you when you got yahoos like me who are sitting up going, this is really cool, we need to pay attention to this?
Well, I will forever be grateful to yahoos like you, because at some point, better now than never, guys like you, advocates like you, allies like you, newborn fans, if you will, like you, I don't care what gender, this is what absolutely has to happen in order for us to see the magnificence of a Sabrina Ionescu, to see the magnificence, appreciate it, understand it, and want more. That's the key. So purists and old dogs like me will say, hey, don't forget Tara Vandeveer, okay? This all starts on the West Coast with Tara. We don't have Sabrina, and we don't have Scotty Ruick, and we don't have any of the great players in the Pac-12 if not for Tara Vandeveer. She lit the light and kept it burning while the rest of the conference caught up. So I'm going to always tip my cap to her. And one of the reasons why, and John, if you ever get 15 minutes with this woman, she will touch you in a way that few others will, because it's all about goodness and growth of the game. There is not a you've got yours, I've got mine bone in her body. All she wants to do is grow the game. So she couldn't be more thrilled for the Oregons and the Oregon States, the very teams that deny her championships these past X amount of years, right? She couldn't be more thrilled for Corey Close, UCLA, what Charlie Turner Thorne has done at Arizona State. But when you see the magnificence and this really special, you mentioned it, there's a lamp lit in Eugene with this Oregon team that will stand the test of time. And no matter what was taken away from them and hundreds of other young women and other teams, what they did for our game, our state, our game, our conference, is something that I don't think, John, you and I will see the likes of for a long, long time, if ever. This isn't meant to be an everyday thing. This isn't meant to be looked at as, oh, business as usual. They took business as usual, did the Ducks, did Sabrina, did Kelly with his wisdom of letting her go and trusting that she knew what to do with this celebratory life of basketball. He let her go. And this isn't meant to be an everyday deal. And she took business as usual and stood it on its head. And here we are talking about her in a way of great gratitude. And I'll never forget this season as long as I live. I'll never forget her 4 years, but this season was something to behold.
College basketball has talked about an extra year of eligibility for seniors. Yeah, they've already given it for spring sports, but it creates a lot of problems if they do it for winter sports. You've got, especially Oregon's got five McDonald's All-Americans coming in, and what do you do with them if everyone comes back? And so what do you do if you're college basketball, Ann?
Well, I think you're bringing up the point that absolutely lands every time this discussion comes to the table, and that is you've got a select amount of roster space. If you afford that opportunity, and on paper or in theory or over conversation, it's wonderful. I love it. I love the fact you're honoring these kids with that thought. But when rubber meets the road, how would you possibly make that happen with X amount of scholarships? And as you mentioned, coaches that look at their graduating class of 2020, the kids that are finished in 2020, they, as good coaches do, they understand, I have to fill five or six slots. They go and do that, and now these four or five are coming back. It just, I don't see how it could work. I just do not see how it could work. You know, the fact that you say that that may be a possibility, the fact that some administrators say that that may be a possibility, there's going to be a lot of discussion, which could get kind of angry and kind of, you brought it up, why can't we do it? I've got a plan, but I don't see it happening. I do not see it happening. I don't think it can happen.
Ann Schatz, broadcaster, CBS Sports, ESPN, Pac-12 Networks, Westwood One. For you personally, you know, I know you love sports. I know that you've been around it. You've played it. I think you were like a 7 sports star in middle school and go on and play in college. Who gave you that love? Who fostered that in you? For listeners out there, you know, who don't know your story, obviously, you know, I talk about broadcasters in this state, and you're at the top of that list with what you have accomplished for yourself and what you've done nationally.
Thanks, John. That means a lot coming from you. It really does. You know, if there's a person who has finger on pulse in this state and beyond, it's you. So thank you. That's a kind chunk of words. You know, you and I, a couple of months ago, had the really good fortune of, God bless your listeners for putting up with us. But, you know, you and I had thanks to you, had a great conversation about my parents, you know, and I was able to, you know, to kind of say thank you to my parents on your show. And my mom and dad and my brothers were the ones who just led the way, opened the door, and then got out of the way for me to do whatever the heck I wanted to do and play with whomever I wanted to play with. The neighborhood where I grew up, John, back in Omaha, Nebraska, great neighborhood, great kids. However this played out, almost all the kids my age were boys. So, and in the same breath, I'm learning how to throw right. You know, I'm right-handed. So, you know, come on, Ann, you got to throw off that left foot. You got to follow through. I'm learning how to bat. I'm learning how to catch footballs. I'm learning how to kick from my brothers and my dad. So I can hang with the boys pretty good in my neighborhood, and we had a ball. And back then, the activity was never ending. So the skill set was right there, but it all happened because mom and dad and my brothers said, yeah, I'll throw with you. I'll play catch with you. Wiffle ball, you're on. Let's go. And then they got the heck out of the way, but never told me, are you sure you want, never said, are you sure you want to do this? Or that's not what girls do. Or, you know, gosh, there's no team. So, nah. Why don't you stay home and we'll talk about it some other time? Never. So it was off to the races. And John, this was a time when, you know, there weren't a lot of girls' sports anyway in my era and in my schools. There were no state tournaments for girls way back then. There were very limited sport options. But I always found a way to play, and that's thanks to my family.
And I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate that you're an ambassador for the for women's basketball. Next season will start. What do you think happens to Oregon without Sabrina? What is life like for Kelly Graves next season?
Gosh, life without Sabrina for Kelly, Duck Nation, and truth be told, all of us, darn it. You know, we've been in her vortex for 4 years now. It's not going to be easy. I think it's going to take a little while to not expect number 20 to come out onto that floor and do her thing, do her magic. I think it's going to take a little while. You know, we, as far as that incoming class, when she came in, she wasn't even the number one kid. You know, she just quietly made sure that when she was finished, she sure as hell was the number one kid. And who's next? So that incoming class, you mentioned it, all those five-star McDonald All-Americas, all of these coveted, chased-after youngsters. You know, it's going to be real tempting to say, which one of you will be the next? And we all have to really, really take a big step back and never put that on any of those kids coming in. Let them do their thing, take a deep breath, and start acclimating to a game that is much faster than even these studs can imagine. But life without Sabrina is going to take a little while to adjust to, because, boy, didn't we get used to that. I remember looking at her when she was a sophomore thinking, dang, this is great. She still has two years after this. Oh, this is great. And look at, here we are talking about life afterwards. But just, you know, give those new, and all the Pac-12 teams have some great classes coming in. Let these kids be kids. And don't expect anything except for what they can give you as they continue to figure this great game out. But boy, number 20, ooh, she ain't going to be there? Ah, John, that kind of gives me the chills. Ugh, I miss her already.
Ann Schatz, you're the best. I appreciate you. Thank you for making time.
John, always. And you know how tickled I am to get on your show with you and have a chance to chat. So the thanks right back to you, my friend.
We'll do it again. Ann Schatz, there she is. Great stuff. And for a lot of you out there, Duck fans, Beaver fans, who are sort of lamenting the end of the college basketball season and, you know, unfinished business, I do think it plays to, you know, to the instinct in all of us to want closure, right? That's why you binge watch, because you can't wait to see what happens next episode. You know, you watch all the way to the end. Can you imagine watching? We've essentially, with our sports seasons, watched, like, you know, it's a 10-episode season, and we're right around episode number 8. We just said, you know, we're just not going to watch anymore. That's what happened, or they took it away. That's what happened. So I don't blame you for a lot of people out there kind of walking around going, man, didn't get satisfied there. Didn't get the satisfaction of seeing the end of the season, where this was all going to head for the NBA and March Madness. And you know what? I'm with those who say that putting a bracket out was pointless. Why are you going to put a bracket out for a tournament you're not going to play? Sure, it would create some talking points, but I think it defeats the purpose. Like, this season will remain unfinished forever. All right, leave it here. You got the BFT. Every day on this show, we do the big splash. Today is no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there.
But the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, we all knew Marcus Mariota would be on the move. Secretly, I hoped he'd get himself to a position where he was joining a team that he didn't have to rescue right away. Marcus Mariota presumably will be number 2 in the depth chart in Las Vegas. The Raiders and Mariota have agreed to terms. The 26-year-old former Heisman Trophy winner will join the Raiders. Big thing that jumps out at me is his athleticism. His ability to find open receivers, his ability to use his feet. He's a very different quarterback than Derek Carr. John Gruden and Marcus Mariota feels like a good marriage. Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee gets a big deal. He got a big-time contract there in Tennessee, but you've got Marcus Mariota joining the Raiders in Las Vegas. Tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT, and tell me whether or not you think that is a signing that makes sense. For those of you out there that are big Marcus Mariota fans, I think just getting him into a fresh change of scenery and getting him into a situation where he ultimately was going to have a chance to compete but not have to rescue a franchise, I think that's a good thing. Yes, the Colts would have been nice too, going to the Colts. Getting reunited with DeForest Buckner and who has been traded by the 49ers to the Colts would have been a good thing. But I think ultimately a lot of Marcus Mariota fans happy to see him get a fresh start in Las Vegas, where if they have an NFL season, that new Raiders stadium will be available and ready to rock and roll come start of the season. So happy for Mariota, happy for the Raiders. Be interested to see what John Gruden does with this opportunity. All right, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll get Mario Cristobal on the show. We'll talk about his new coordinator.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.